The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The words of Jesus. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please join me in making our common profession of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We profess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, the one who is and was and yes, is still to come. Amen. These days, I've been thinking of all things about a song made famous by Sonny and Cher back in the 1970s. Do you remember Sonny and Cher? A few of you do. Good. I thought I was in friendly country here. And the title of this song is The Beat Goes On. And that's the title of the message today as well. If you Google that title, you will find that the lyrics are there, and those lyrics have meaning, even though I think sometimes they get covered up a bit by the infectious beat of the song. And I know for me, I don't automatically think of in-depth lyrics when I think of Sonny and Cher, but I do think we have an exception here. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I am very conventional and conservative in many, many ways. Ask my wife about how I drive. Very, very conservative. And normally playing Sonny and Cher, The Beat Goes On in chapel would not be what I would do. But I thought, if I'm ever going to be adventurous, make it this last sermon. And by the way, Chaplain Jennifer's office is by the ice cream shop. If you have strong opinions about it next week, stop by and talk to her. But we're going to hear a little bit of The Beat Goes On by Sonny and Cher.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee. La da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage, uh-huh.
grocery store, the supermarket.
Good. I could tell the beat was going on. I saw feet moving and so forth. It is an infectious beat. The words are there and they have meaning. I think it's fair to say that it's a two-part meaning. Did you notice that Charleston was once the rage? Any of you ever danced the Charleston? Maybe a few. It's not a thing these days. Younger people wouldn't know what the Charleston is. The page has been turned. That's a way of saying that one thing stays the same, nothing stays the same. Change keeps on happening and happening. But there's another side of these lyrics, I think, again, surprisingly, there's depth to them. Little girls keep breaking hearts and men keep marching off to war. That is something that doesn't seem to change. So it's a two-part theme. Change is ever with us, but some things don't change at all. So what's the application to us as God's people gathered in this place? I have to admit, I started thinking about this message way more in advance than I do most messages. So I was thinking of this back on Pentecost, thereabouts. That was a good 5 weeks ago. And this theme of the beat goes on reminds me of Pentecost, the day of, and the season that we're in. Remember the record in Acts 2. Jesus had ascended into heaven by that time. The disciples, of course, were struggling with that news. Jesus wasn't physically with them anymore. And then in a mighty fashion, God sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and gave those early disciples the ability to speak the gospel message in tongues unknown to them. And 3,000 came to faith that day. If that's not the beat going on, I don't know what is. That overall theme is one to encourage us as God's people that no matter who is before you, no matter who is sharing the good news of Jesus, God's word prevails. The beat goes on. Let me flesh it out some. I've been trying to think of things that endure, that have legs, that go beyond just one message. And I think a framework for our message today could be to grab hold of something that you may have learned a long time in school, a long time ago. If you're like me, I think I forgot these, but had read something lately that reminded me. Maybe you've heard of the three great transcendentals. Philosophers over the ages have used these three. They are truth, goodness, and beauty. Truth is the intellectual need for finding reality in fact. Goodness is the moral reality that satisfies the mind, aligning our actions with virtue and love and what's right. Beauty is kind of the aesthetic appreciation of harmony and proportion. I think of beauty as I sit in our worship space. It evokes wonder. And while the philosophers would use truth, goodness, and beauty as a way of somehow climbing into God's favor by their own activity and their own thinking and work, or even just to have meaning to their mortal existence, we know, as God's people, no matter how true we are ourselves, however good we might think we are, however beautiful we might think we are, we cannot climb into God's good grace and favor. Else, why Jesus to the cross? We can't do it ourselves. That's outside of us. So I'm going to repurpose these. Much like God repurposed each of us in baptism and took us from being at enmity with him to being his dear children, let's repurpose these. When I think of truth, God's truth, I think of the three great solas of the Reformation. that we are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, informed by God's word alone, and we some add a fourth, through Christ alone. These assure us that we are right with God. May the beat of truth continue on in this place long after all of us are gone. The encouragement in this is to do things like, I know some of you are already, like wear out your Bible. There's nothing more heartwarming than a worn out Bible. Wear out your devotion books. One of the things that is an interesting kind of contradiction. Of course, Jennifer and I, we're human and we don't love complaints, but it is a good thing when the devotion books haven't arrived at the beginning of a new month and people are waiting for their next Hopeful Living or Portals of Prayer. When we get those calls, that means they're missed. We need to keep wearing them out. And ultimately, what is true is what God calls true. What is true is Jesus, the one who said he is the way and the truth and the life. It is in him that we lean. In him we find our peace. Jesus said hard words today. I read them from the gospel. He said, I have come to bring, not to bring peace, but a sword. He's speaking of his exclusive nature, of his claims upon us. I mentioned before John 14, where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He also says that there is no other way to the Father but by me. That's an exclusive claim, and our culture doesn't like to hear it. Sometimes we struggle with hearing it, yet that is what the Word of God says. And yes, it does bring division. There's no doubt about it. Yet as we as God's people embrace these words, know that Jesus brings inclusion as well. There is no sin that is too great to be beyond the scope of Jesus' love and mercy. He is the only way, but he is the only way for all. You can't be too rich. You can't be too poor. You can't be too old. You can't be too young. You can't even be too sinful. For our salvation, it's not on us, but it's on him. I'll say that one more time. Our salvation is not on us. It is on him. People of God, when the winds of the world are working hard to blow us off our God-given courses, it is good to repent of missteps, to turn again and again to Jesus for full forgiveness, and full freedom in the gospel. May this beat of confession and absolution, may it be a truth-filled, Jesus-filled rhythm that keeps going and going and going. You might ask yourselves, do I ever get up and walk through a day and have nothing to confess? The answer is no. We all, at the end of the day, have much to confess. And we confess that we are sinful, unclean, and by nature sinners. And it's in him, in Jesus, that we have peace. Let's move to our second point, goodness. God is good. This sign, which I know if you're further off back, you can't see it. It's been above my desk for a long time. I plan to leave it there as a way of keeping the beat going. God is good all the time. That's true. And one of the things that I've noticed, even across cultures, when I've been in other places doing a little mission trip, that kind of thing, this saying is prevalent. God is good all the time. In fact, in most of these communities throughout different places of the world, they will say, God is good, and the people will respond all the time. Let's try that. God is good all the time. And then many times, they'll backwards up, they'll say, and all the time, God is good. I think there are probably Christians somewhere right now saying that. God is good. all the time. Even when we don't always agree with his ways among us, he is good. His good and gracious will is wonderfully expressed in his commandments, especially the two Jesus gave: to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors. That is good. You can count on it. That is his good and gracious will. Or here's something that brings it more to home. Do this with me if you would. Just take a deep breath. God provided that air. God is good. We keep breathing. We're reminded that the beat goes on. This worship space, it is a good place. I know you can't see from where you are, but as I look up, there are stars. It reminds me of the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore and that great promise to Abraham to bless Abraham's descendants. Look up, next chance you get, on a dark night without artificial light, at God's wonderful handiwork of the stars. God is good. One of the things that I've discovered about getting older is that for unknown reasons to myself, I wake up embarrassingly early, and I get sleepy embarrassingly early. But one of the things about getting up way early is you can sit like out on our sunroom, and you can watch the sun rise when it comes up from the east. What a time to say, God, thank you for holding all of creation together. Thank you for giving me one more day. Scripture teaches us of the goodness of God, that the rain falls both on the godly and the ungodly. God provides sunshine and rain to all, even those who reject him. What a great example of his mercy and grace. These things cause us to realize that God is good. And beauty. Let's talk about that today. Have you heard that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder? Most of us have heard that. Sounds reasonable, but I do believe that God has built in some standards when it comes to beauty. I challenge you, watch a beauty pageant and see if you see any similarities one person to the next. You'll see what I mean. This beauty that we experience it given by God. It's like fresh blooming flowers. It's a quiet beauty of intermittent rain mixed with sunshine. It's birds after the rain that are picking up those worms that come up. The robins seem to be rejoicing. Beauty, it's in the chapel, as I said, the windows, the artwork. To my right, toward the back, is Peter, the stained glass of him. To my left is Paul. What proponents of the truth? And if you come up a couple windows, you see St. Catherine of Siena, who at age 16 responded to God's grace by serving the poor, adorning her faith with good works. And then Jesus, blessing the children. You get a chance to come up later. That's to my right, a large stained glass, that beautiful picture of Jesus blessing children, assuring them they too are his. To my right, I brought along a picture. This is a small replica of what was once at the base of the stairs down by the auditorium. It is Jesus blessing children, but if you get a chance to look at it closely, the children are old. The wrinkles are in the face. We're mindful that Jesus loves all of us, young and old. There's a beauty in that. Yes, these three, truth, goodness, and beauty, when they speak of God and his word, when we say what is true is what God says is true, when we say what is good is what God says is good, when we say what is beautiful is what God says is beautiful, that is certainly something to rejoice in. Paul said that there are things that transcend even these. The biblical transcendence could be faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13. love is the greatest. Our lives are bound together by God's enduring love, especially as it's demonstrated for us in his unconditional love in Jesus. It is that love that gives rhythm to the beat. So let's remember the three, or the great threes, the three transcendentals, truth, goodness, beauty, the three solas, grace alone, faith alone, God's word alone, the three enduring foundations of Paul, faith, hope, and love. And most of all, let's remember the one who transcends them all, God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think he uses all of these to flesh out what the beat truly is. The source is clear. The source is the gospel. It's the gospel message of God himself. The gospel is the work of our Savior Jesus. Yes, Jesus did the perfectly true, the perfectly good, the perfectly beautiful work of saving us. He did this by taking on our frail human flesh and doing something we cannot do for ourselves. He lived a holy and righteous life on our behalf. He did this by also allowing himself to be hung on the cross, where he took the punishment for our sins, this punishment that we would deserve. He did this by rising victorious from the dead, so we have that resurrection hope. He did this by his ascension to the Father and by the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And he will continue to be our band director as he works in us and through us to do his will. He will do this until he comes again to bring us to himself. What a glorious day to look forward to. Revelation 21 says it well. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Indeed, this will be my last sermon at Laclede Groves as lead chaplain. Know this, as I said before, the names, the faces may change, but the message of the gospel, that is a beat that goes on and on and on to eternity. We don't know exactly what the future is on this side of heaven, but we know that the gospel beat continues. Jesus himself said that the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. May God bless us all. May God bless you as you keep dancing to that beat. And to this, all of God's people say, Amen.